Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, it's that time of year with leaf blowers and lawnmowers and outdoor sounds that are just hard to deal with. But we still have a great show for you this week. It'll be at night, so there won't be any leaf blowers. A slightly different guest for us here on EWABS. His name is Chris Heward. He comes from Canada. He's a stand-up comedian and a budding voice artist.
Chris is a good friend of mine, and I thought it'd be interesting to hear his story, the twists and turns, and the journey he's taking into the world of VO. It might be helpful to some of you just like him. I'll be sharing an answer to a question. We've got a question about noise floor. I happen to have a good Whittam's World about noise floor, so we'll run that, and we'll have a little discussion. Plus, we got a lot of questions from you guys to answer as well.
That's right. So join us, East-West Audio Body Shop, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room. Get in there early. It tends to fill up. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan Edwards talks shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West with...
Hi, I'm Chris Heward.
Yeah. And together, all of us are East West Audio Body Shop. All right.
Nice. Well done.
Do you know how long I practiced that?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting with that promo that actually was the sound outside my window.
It was, totally.
We're like, yeah, let's record that and put that underneath there.
We thought, what could be a better idea than that?
That's right. Yeah, about, you know, 1 o'clock or 1:30 and, you know, any afternoon here, it's like, hey, it's fall. But we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we've got a great show tonight. Chris Heward's going to be with us and we're going to have a great time with him. But first off, we have to thank our fabulous sponsors, because without them, you'd be watching car commercials.
That's right.
And we would be popping in every now and again. So thanks to Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, and, of course, your employer's Edge Studios. We have another sponsor coming on in a week or so. So it's going to be people. Look, you want to advertise here. Your name could be right here.
I'll take
it across my forehead.
That's right. We'll take down my ad to replace it with your ad.
Somehow get it right across the mustache.
Okay, right.
The ads, sell ads on that.
Oh, sell it on the.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
A little Adobe After Effects, and we could have the ads take mustache rides
dancing.
On Dan's face.
Yeah, dancing ads.
I like that idea.
I just said that.
That okay. Just happened.
Right. We're not on the network, but anyway, we've got a Whittam's World. We've got Chris Heward. So, what else could you possibly want on a Monday night?
That's right.
Ham sandwich.
Well, actually, I could use a ham sandwich right about now.
Came in pretty quick.
All right. What are we starting with? The news?
I think we'll start off with the news.
All right, man.
Boop, boop, be-doo.
Yeah, we need a bumper for the news.
Yeah, somebody come up with a bumper for the news.
All right. I'm waiting for it in the inbox.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
And no, I think you're first. Talking about Yosemite.
Oh, crap. Okay. Yosemite. So if you have a Mac, then you want to... not install Yosemite quite yet. So if you're living under a rock and you don't know what Yosemite is, it's the newest Apple operating system. So here's the deal. It probably will work just fine for the vast majority of you. It was just released recently. It's a free upgrade, and many people have installed it already because it's free, and it just looks like any other update on the system. So people have been installing it, thinking it's relatively innocuous. But keep in mind that when you install an update like Yosemite, when you go from one generation of OS to another, it's a big deal. So do not do it lightly. Make sure you back up your system. And it's a really good idea to wait at least two versions later. I like to wait till the 0.2 version to update. But anyway, Yosemite is out. And for those of you that are adventurous enough to have tried it, drop in on the Facebook group that we have, the eWabs Facebook group, and let us know how it's working out for you. But beware, be careful, back up, and then tread lightly into Yosemite.
That's right. Yes. Well, I put it on my new my MacBook Air because there's not a whole lot going on there. It's just my MacBook Air, which I happen to watch the show on over here. If you ever see me turning like this because I'm looking over at my MacBook Air, I put it on there. It's the icons are just a little bit different.
Right. But it's flatter. It looks a little bit more like it was drawn with colored pencils or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But it's kind of weird. What else in the news? Oh, Harry Shearer, who I think is like in your neighborhood, George.
Harry is pretty nearby, I hear, but I've never had a Harry Shearer sighting. But theoretically, he lives close by.
Maybe we'll get him on the show. Anyway, he's teaching voiceover, given back to the community. Since being named artist in residence at Loyola University in New Orleans last year, Shearer's worked with a growing audience of film students, leading an ongoing series of acting, directing, and writing workshops. And students have been given the opportunity to work hands-on with Mr. Shearer as he's used the university's studio facilities for his own projects, including a reality television parody web series. That sounds like Harry Shearer with all the stuff that he's done with The Simpsons and all the other great things that he's done. And, of course, the Christopher Guest movies and stuff like that. He's a great guy. So if you can go to Loyola, you can go get to see him as the artist in residence.
And if we're really lucky, maybe, just maybe, we can track him down, being that he's in our neighborhood and all.
Yes. Hopefully Catherine is listening.
That's right. Catherine, tune in and track him down. This is your mission for the end of 2014.
Yes.
In other news in the world of technology, I have a recent software update that I think I mentioned on the show recently, but Akon Digital makes a very cost-effective alternative to RX4 by iZotope. So if you've been looking for ways to process your audio, de-click, denoise, things like that, check out the Akon Digital Restoration Suite. It's about $99. So if you need to de-click your audio, take out those nasty mouth clicks, and you don't really have the budget for the more powerful version, you know, more powerful restoration suite from RX4 iZotope, check out Akon Digital's Restoration Suite. It's pretty new. It's still in their 1.5 or so version, but it's a really, really great cost-effective way to start getting into de-clicking those really long narrations where de-clicking manually is just not going to be realistic.
All righty. And finally, and this is a rather long story, we had our second World Voices Organization annual meeting this last Friday on YouTube, and the board of directors, of which I am a member and founding member, gave the reports of the various committees. Here's the thing. So if you're wondering, if you haven't joined WOVO, I know that most of you in the chat room have either joined or know what we're talking about here, or maybe you were even at the meeting. But here's just a list of the things that we've accomplished in the year 2014. We achieved 501c3 6 status mid-year. We held our first conference, WovoCon, in Las Vegas, which was a riot. We launched 11 virtual meetup groups all over the world, if you can believe that. We're really expanding all over the place now. Our members came up with a great tagline we've been using everywhere. We speak for those who speak for a living. We have a new logo that was designed and approved, and we've got a new free-to-play website, which is now up and functional. We're going to be having the new people, the people who are members of WOVO, will have a free search site that people looking for talent can go to, but you got to be a member of WOVO. So if there's a good reason to join, our new website design's been approved and is in the final stages of being tuned into a gorgeous site full of neat features, including a calendar where important events in our industry can be displayed, a means for members to communicate with each other, and a repository of resource materials, including best practices, rate cards, past newsletters, and helpful articles. We gained two new board members, the lovely Peter Bishop and the amazing Katerin Vasilopoulos, who I can pronounce without even thinking about it. And our membership more than doubled in the last year. So why don't you join us and have some and really see what it's like to be part of an industry association that represents those of us who are freelance voice actors. We also increased the frequency of our newsletters, much to Dave Courvoisier's consternation, but he's getting them out there. We were at a bunch of conferences this year, and starting after we get the new website online in the next week or so, we're going to start tech certification. So if your studio, if you think your studio is up to snuff, which it should already be if you're a member of WoVo, we're going to be certifying those studios, and you can put a big certificate on your website saying, my studio's better than your studio.
And we're just having a nice little conversation at this end. Are you having a show on that end?
Because no, I'm all alone here with me and my glass of ice here.
Well, we have a question from last week that was lingering that we didn't get to. So I figured let's get to it tonight. From Mars, you know, is there any way to connect an Avalon? And the Avalon is a generic. People call this mic preamp the Avalon. It's a mic preamp. Not plain and simple. Can you connect an Avalon to a PC via, depending on what, how do you say it up in Canada, via or via?
Both. It depends which province you're from.
Okay. Yeah, if you're in Quebec, it's via.
At okay. Via.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And via a D2A converter, that's digital to analog converter, in lieu of an interface with an additional preamp. Let me see if I can read that again. Is there any way to connect the preamp to a PC with a D2A converter, which should actually read A to D converter. I'll explain why. Converter in lieu of an interface with an additional preamp. Ah, I get it. I know what she's asking. So there's a lot of interfaces, USB interfaces out there that are affordable, like the Scarlett 2i2, for example. And we talk about it all the time. The Shure X2U, the MicPort Pro. There's a zillion interfaces that are very affordable and sound very good. And folks are using these things to hook a mic preamp up to their computer. And while it's functionally, it works, you're going through two preamps. You're going through your high-end external preamp, and you're going through another preamp. And so if you want to really clean up the signal chain, you want to avoid that extra preamp. So what she's asking is, can you get another way, another converter that doesn't have a preamp? Yes, you can.
But why?
If it sounds good, it is good. That's my motto. And that's always been my motto. And it's funny watching myself. It's like Japanese television. I'm seeing my video way delayed behind Dan's for some reason. I don't know why.
They always have a delay when I'm on the show.
Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting because if it sounds good, it is good. But if you really, really want this, it's funny. You either have to spend very little money for like a Behringer UCA 202, which is a really simple little line input to USB adapter, or you have to spend a lot more on some other dedicated piece of equipment that's an A to D converter, like the RME AFI2 or something like that. I mean, we're talking close to $1,000. In the middle range, there is the Apogee Duet. So that does provide a very clean analog to digital conversion, and you're going to be dropping about, what, $600 on one of those things.
Yes.
But, man, you're probably not going to hear the difference. You're still using just the built-in preamp of your interface, right, Dan?
Here's a Focusrite. This is the iTrack Solo, which mm-hmm. I think is fine for what we do. Mm-hmm. I'm using a 2i2 as my main interface here. Yeah. But, you know, I've got this as a backup, and I dare anybody to tell the difference between this and the other stuff. And I don't understand what these high-end preamps, which are designed for rock musicians, are doing in people's voiceover studios.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later, because a friend of mine over here has a little bit of a touch of the gas.
Gas? I knew that was coming.
Gear acquisition syndrome. So we'll talk about that later.
Right. I've got to go. Couple of pieces.
And then there's one last one that we can slip in here real quick. Jerry Reed recording while Skyping. That's kind of a very Jerry Reed recording while Skyping.
Yes. Well, I think the part of the question was, is he's one of those Linux guys. So how do you do that? Yes. What do you need to record Skype for? You know,
No. If you're in Linux, spend some time over on the Audacity forums, because I think that's one of the only DAWs that is supported by Linux. I'm not really sure, but if you need to record Skype, get a Skype recording utility. That's, I use one called Call Recorder by Ecamm, E-C-A-M-M. It just runs in the background automatically and just records every phone call. I never even have to think about it. It just archives them into a folder, and if I ever need something, it's there. So that's what I use on Mac. On Windows, there's something called Pamela, P-A-M-E-L-A.
Pamela?
Yeah, Pamela Recorder. I found that recently. But on Linux, you know, I don't know. I have to Google around a little bit. I don't have an answer for you on that one. But if you're just trying to record yourself while Skyping, if you're on a Mac, not a problem. You set the input in your DAW and the input in Skype to the same input. Done. That's all there is to it.
And even easier, don't use Skype.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't need it, don't use it. But
yeah, I mean, everybody's calling their grandmother on it. And it's, you know, I mean, we're using Skype tonight. Usually we use Zoom if we've got a guest somewhere else on the planet. Mm-hmm. But since Chris is with us in the studio, we're Skyping it tonight.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what EWAB's look at the news and our questions. And we've got lots more coming up here on East West Audio Body Shop, including comedian Chris Heward. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
All right, we're back.
I paid a lot of money for that effects knob.
I know. It's
and for the lip delay too.
In the groove yard. You know, this should have been our Halloween episode.
Yeah.
But that's not till Friday.
No, we can. Yeah. Well, Halloween, that's for kids.
That's true.
Actually, and actors.
And yeah, I can't wait to spend Halloween in California. I'm sure that's going to be.
Oh,
Halloween here is unbelievable. This is my third Halloween here. It's and Halloween is like based on everywhere else, I think, took the idea from L.A. because they dress like that here all the time. And then you add Halloween to that. It's just off the hook. Down on Hollywood Boulevard is unbelievable. You got to go there.
I can't wait. We got one more question here, which will lead into a Whittem's World.
Do you want me to read that question?
You can actually read that actual question.
OK, you got it. So, Chris, will you lip sync for me? Because I'm not lip synced right now on camera.
I can do that.
So can you just? Yeah, there you go. Ed Vio, his question was: considering no rumble, hum, or buzz, isn't minus 60 dB an acceptable noise floor? Yes, and I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say yes or no. Yes and no. Because not all noise is created equal. And it really depends on the frequency band of the noise and all that. And the other thing he didn't say in there is it minus 60 dB peak or minus 60 dB RMS that he's talking about. Because you get very different results based on those two values. Minus 60 dB RMS is what ACX asks for. So it's not nearly as difficult to reach that value as minus 60 dB peak. I might have addressed that in this little video. If it plays, if it doesn't play, I'll just wing it.
in a world.
George, can you help me set up my recording studio?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Where voiceover talent are stuck in their closets.
Is there a way to improve the quality of my audio files?
Oh, yeah.
And they need to deliver finished audio tracks.
You are my hero.
Oh, thank you. That was sweet. Yeah.
There is one man who takes it all on.
Real-time, excellent, Whittem's World.
Whittem's World. Rated VO.
Hi, this is George Whittem reporting for Whittem's World. You probably might be able to hear in my voice that I've got a cold. Coming on week two right now, fighting a sinus infection. Ugh, it's a nightmare. But slowly starting to feel a little bit better day by day. Last week's post definitely brought up some interest in figuring out how do you reduce noise floor. Now that we know how to calculate it, or at least come up with a figure based on peak noise floor values, how do you deal with the problem? Noise floor can be caused by numerous different things in your recording environment. It can either be caused by something outside of your equipment, so that would be ambient noise, structure noise that's from inside your building, noise from outside your building, humming from vans, air conditioning units, old refrigerators, anything that creates vibration. And if you're in a multi-unit building, like an apartment or a condo, you're going to have it much worse than most people with a single dwelling home because there's machinery attached to that building and it's vibrating the entire building and resonating the whole time. So a lot of the noise that most people have that increases their noise floor readings is often rumble, which is really low frequency noise. And the good news is a lot of the time that can be removed using an EQ setting, what we often call a high pass filter, set at between 80 and 100 hertz that will very effectively remove most of that low frequency noise. But you may also have just environmental noise or just the sound of your computer in the same room with your microphone, the fans of the computer, the hard drives. If you have a hard drive sitting up on a desk, that can be humming and resonating with the desk, which then the microphone picks up. So all of these things contribute to the noise. These are all things that are outside of that the microphone is acoustically picking up. You know, it's hearing like your ear does. But there's also issues with the equipment itself. So if your microphone is not very sensitive, so that it needs a lot of gain to boost the signal, that means you have to run your mic preamp at a really, really high setting. And chances are, if you find yourself having to do that, it oftentimes will amplify the self noise of your system, which is usually heard as sort of a hiss or a whoosh, kind of a white noise sound. So those issues are dealt with by either one, upgrading equipment, two, setting up proper gain staging. So if you have a mic preamp, a mixer, and say an M-Box, you have got sometimes up to five or six different places to adjust volume and gain settings. And if that's not done right, it'll increase noise dramatically. Or it could just be that the noise is within acceptable limits and it's not worth worrying about. If your noise is below, say, 45 dB or so, you can many times kind of get away with using a very minimal amount of what we call downward expansion or noise gate that will take the ambient noise floor of minus 45 and through clever processing reduce it to say minus 55. So if you do it in a subtle way, it won't be noticeable and it'll just reduce the apparent noise floor. But this, I would say, would be one of the last resorts. You should really try to solve it from the source. And if it's just something you can't get away with, you just don't have the budget right now to upgrade the equipment or deal with the noise issues, worst case scenario, you can use a denoising tool like what comes with Audacity. And it's a little bit of a blunt instrument. Sometimes it makes some artifacts, but you know, sometimes it may be the only way you can get a clean enough sounding recording for the client's needs. So hope that's helpful. And if you have any more ideas for me, I'd love to get them. Send them over to whittemsworld@edgestudio.com. And I'll see you guys next week.
So there's a lot of ways to handle noise floor, but if you're metering out at minus 60 dB peak, then you're doing pretty well. I mean, didn't we set up a standard for Wovo, Dan, that was around minus 55? Refresh my memory on that.
Yeah, we were saying minus 55 to minus 60. Used to be minus 40, but somebody reminded us that's the sound of someone vacuuming in the next room.
Yeah, that's the standard
from
for
a radio
FM.
Station. Yeah. Yeah,
for radio, yeah. Yeah, yes. So.
And leaf blowing season.
Exactly. But minus 60 is really, really good, I think. It's really rare that I get a file that. And this is the way I normalize, or this is the way I measure noise floor, by the way. I take the entire recording sample and I normalize it to usually zero, but these days I've been pretty much using minus 3. And then I measure the peak level of just the room tone. I find somewhere in the file where there's room tone. It might be even a few seconds long, but as long as it's clean room tone, and I see where it's at. And if you're hitting minus 60 dB right off the mic, that is really good in a home studio.
Yes. You're also not breathing.
You're not breathing. Let's talk about how you record noise floor or room tone, by the way. You can't stand at the mic and while you record room tone. The best way to record room tone, hit record, literally walk out of the room. Sit there, sing the theme to Jeopardy, then walk back in.
Not loud, to yourself.
Sing it to yourself. Walk back in and take a look at that bit of audio recorded while you were gone. Trim off the heads and the tails when you were walking. And that's good room tone. So that's what you're looking for. And it doesn't have to be dead silence. But it's going to sound basically like dead silence to somebody who's listening back on studio monitors. Because they're not going to hear your room tone above their room tone. Oh, it gets deep after that, but
yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to stall anymore because I got this guy stand next to me and he's clearly anxious to start. So
well, then let's get him on here in just a minute. Chris Heward is going to make us all laugh, or we'll laugh at him, or he'll laugh at us. Right in a couple of minutes, right here on East West Audio Body Shop. Don't go anywhere.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by himself.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Hey guys, this is Tom, also known as the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, and you want to fill your ear holes and your eye holes with Dan and George and the East West Audio Body Shop. Ah! Meow. Snails like it too.
Next to the rental place of all this, there was like a 1938 or 37 white with a restored interior. It was somebody's.
Is this the spot that he stood on when he was here?
Yeah. Yes, okay. It is.
This is what happens.
Move her a little bit. The trap door is just 2 inches. There we go. Perfect. Okay. Anyway, where were we?
I don't know. It looks like I'm frozen here, but. Oh, there we go. Oh, okay.
Let it go.
That was a video of Uncle Roy's car. Oh, okay. That's why I was wondering what was going on there.
I just wanted to throw you a curveball. That's all.
Remember, we're not seeing it in real time, so how the hell are you?
I know.
Anyway, this is what happens when somebody is in the studio. So when we end up doing the show together, it's going to be utter chaos.
Exactly.
But I think Chris is probably entertaining you a great deal. Let's welcome an entertainer extraordinaire who we've wanted to have on the show for a while. Chris Heward, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
What's up, buddy?
Good to see you, Dan. George, nice how's it you. Going?
Thank you for coming.
Oh, well, I've watched it a lot on the boob screen there and loved it. Glad to be here. I don't know how I made it.
You drove.
Well, no, I mean with Ebola and ISIS and everything else, I really don't know how I made it.
And then picking me into up America. At the auto shop on the way here. Yeah. Oh, that was probably the scariest part of all.
We flew in. We'd like right before studio time.
I got to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why the heck are you here, man? I mean, you're not here just to be on the show, right?
Who told you that?
You're from up. You're from the Great White North.
Yeah. No, I came down. I come down back and forth to LA as you know to do stand up comedy. The Laugh Factory on Sunset is my home club, and that's where I got my start with stand up comedy, of course. And I get in every few months as much as I can. It's pretty amazing to have the Laugh Factory as your home club. Hard to get on. The hardest club in the world, really, for comedians. So okay. I feel very blessed that they've taken me on the last. What, 4 or 5 years now, I guess.
I take it for granted because you're really the only stand-up I know that has played the Laugh Factory. And right. I don't know that many stand-ups, so yeah. I just assume, it's just part of it's part of the thing. You go to L.A., then you do the Laugh Factory.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
No. The Laugh Factory gets 900 headlining comedians a week showing up at their door asking to get on that stage. It's the hardest stage in America to get onto.
How many do they let on at any particular night?
Each show's got about... 4 to 5 guys, or 3 to 5, I guess, depending on.
And the rest are all bawling out in the alley?
Pretty much. They gotta buy a ticket. Buy a ticket at the door.
how did you get into doing stand up?
That was a mistake. That was
okay. No.
I was going. I had. I was working in hair salons back then. I don't anymore, but I used to work in. I don't know if I ever told you that. Yeah. But I was a hairdresser for a bunch of years. And on my night off, happened to be the amateur night at the Yuck Yucks Comedy Club up in Canada. And I would go there every night. And on the amateur night, and I would watch these guys, and it was the same guys all the time. I noticed after a few weeks, and they were doing the same horrible jokes. And I was sad for this one guy. I thought he would hang himself after the show. I'm like, why would they let him do this to himself? This is not good. This is not productive for your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I asked the waiter, I said, what's the process of getting on here? And he thought I was complaining about the show, which I kind of was, I suppose. But he went and got the manager, and she came over and said, is there a problem? I said, no, I was just wondering how the vetting process is of getting these people on, eh? And and she said, you come back here next week on this night at 6 o'clock, and we do a workshop with the headliner that comes from internationally or the nation, and they kind of start teaching you stand-up comedy, and then an hour later, you sign up with the other 85 comedians that want to get stage time that night, out of which there'll be 4, 5, 6 maybe, and she said, and you get in the show for free, and that was it. When she said, I said, what, you save $5 from getting the show? I'll be here. That was it. And I hung out there for a year and a half, getting the free tickets into the show and getting to meet all the headliners. And that was fun. And then eventually they were like, hey, haven't you went on stage yet? And I was like, nah, I'm good. They're like, I don't see your name signed up on the list to try and get a spot. I'm like, no, it's on there. I'm sure it's on there. And then one guy's like, no, here, I'll put it on for you. And next thing you know, I ended up on stage. I wrote my jokes the day of. Because I wasn't going to do it. And I thought, well, if I don't go on, I'm not going to get the free tickets. That free ticket ride is over. And there's free pop, too. Like, yeah.
Oh, so wow.
That would have been free pop.
I couldn't afford not to. And the rest, the next thing you know, I did 3 shows, and they were putting me on the road. They're like, hey, do you want to go out and make money at this? And I went, well, I'll give it a shot. I had done 5 minutes of comedy. They said, can you do 30 minutes about 3 hours from here and on the drive? And I said, sure.
No way.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then it just kept, and then it just kept snowballing from there.
Let me ask you something, because I've always wondered this. Because
that was the short version.
Yes,
please, thank you.
What's it like hanging out with like 5 or 6 other comedians? Like you're sitting around waiting around to go on.
It really depends who they are. I mean, yeah. Some of these guys are supremely depressed and like really, and egos that are either honestly up or down, and hard to gauge if they feel good or if they feel bad at this time. But sometimes when you get the right group of guys that you click with, it is the most fun that you can have. You're driving, you've got sometimes, because Canada, cities are far away. It's not like here. I can do five shows in LA in one night. There, I'd have to drive 5 hours to get to another show, all right, to another city. So you get 5 hours to talk with guys in the car. And sometimes it can be great, and the other times you just want to get out and hitchhike.
You can get out as far out of there as you can.
Yeah.
So you're on the road and you're doing all these different clubs all over the country and stuff.
Yeah, they started putting me out, like I said, the third show, going around the country, and I had never really traveled before that, and all of a sudden I'm seeing a bunch of different cities and a bunch of different towns, and that became the motivation to keep going. Well, the money, too. I mean, I'll take the money, but also seeing all those towns and all these people you see on TV, all of a sudden I'm with them in a car for 5 hours, and that was like, you just pick them up at the airport, that's the first time you meet. You get the gig sheet, pick them up at this airport, guys drive to there, and it was great for me. I loved it.
Sounds like fun.
So how did we all want to know, of course, when did the transition, or when did the interest in being a voice actor kind of come along? Like, did you get inspired by voice actors, or how did you find out about the industry of the voice acting world? Because I didn't know anything about it before I moved out here at all.
Right. I didn't know a lot about it either. For most of my life, it didn't occur to me that this was an industry at all. And then, like I said, I worked in hair salons, and this guy would come in, and I said, well, how are you doing today? You're making small talk. And he said, I was recording these audio spots for the hockey team. And I was like, what does that mean? What are you talking about, man? And he explained it to me. He's like, yeah, when you hear this stuff on the radio or the commercials on TV, let's go, and all this stuff, come down, you can buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. That was him.
Right.
And
all the classics.
Right. And he came back probably about 4 or 5 times where it finally occurred to me, like, how do you get that job? That sounds like a really good job. And he's like, well, start getting coaching. And I'm like, well, that's sounds like a crappy way. I have a voice. Why don't I just go out and use it? And he's like, call this number instead. Go get a coach. Take some classes. Trust me.
Good advice.
It was, yeah, because I would have embarrassed myself had I not listened to him. And I went out and started taking workshops and classes, and the one thing led to another, and I ended up down here, as you know. I don't know if you want to know that story. I ended up down here, but yeah.
How much time do we have, Dan?
Yeah, we're right on schedule. Can carry on.
I wasn't sure if we would go to this story, because it's very bizarre and kind of
dark. It's perfect eWebs material.
It's bizarre and dark.
Go for it.
It's that same old story that every voice artist has. But so I started taking those coaching. I'm doing stand-up comedy, and I realized that I want to do acting, and I started taking acting classes. I quit comedy for a few years because it was going very well for me. I knew I had a future in comedy. Everybody was giving me opportunities, but I realized if I want to get anywhere farther than where I am in Canada, I'm going to need to learn how to act, because that's what guys like Jim Carrey and John Candy and other guys that came from Canada.
Some guys you may have heard of.
Right. Yeah. Like other Canadians. I took 3 years off and started studying acting and getting into, right away, into the background roles, of course, and starting to do that. And then I realized that I found this voiceover thing in coaching, and I wanted to do that. And I realized that I really liked that. I went to one audition for an animation series called Del Toro Quest, which is playing here in the United States. We did 52 episodes. I went to one audition, and I got it. And I'm like, this is great. Thank God I took that coaching.
You got a distorted view of what voiceover was like.
Yeah, it was great. And then I started getting smaller spots and stuff for a commercial and stuff like that. And I loved it. That's the best thing. So then I realized I need some recording gear, which is how I met you. But in between that, the acting.
Speaking of recording gear.
Yes.
Make love to the microphone.
Hello. From the acting, I'm looking for more and more acting gigs. I'm in Canada, so it's not like LA. There's not a ton of acting gigs. When stuff comes through town, I get into it, but that's when it comes to town in Canada. Mm-hmm. So I started looking online, and I went to Mandy.com. I don't know if you use that down here or not. Mandy.
Yeah, actually, I was using when I was doing production sound mixing. Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. So I went to Mandy.com and put a profile up on that, and there was one in my town. It was great. It was a breakdown for a murder film, and they were looking for a killer and a victim. And my first thought was, I don't have a ton of experience. I've trained and I've taken coaching and lessons, but I don't have a ton of experience. So I'm not going to go for the juicy part, which was the killer. I'm going to go for the victim, because I think most people will submit for the other part.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met with this guy and I got the part. However, make a long story short, this filmmaker who I thought we were going to be making films with, well, we were recording and stuff and doing stuff, and he had went to film school. He knew all the jargon. He said all the right things. I believed him thoroughly. He had done a couple of small
his credentials his were cre- all right. seemed pretty in
everything
order.
Seemed in order, and he was talking about next year. This was a small one he was going to do because he had some time. Next year he was going to do a bigger budget thing with Jeff Goldblum and Jeff.
That's what they all say.
I know, yeah. Justin Timberlake and Alec Baldwin. And I thought, wow, if I can impress this guy now, yeah. The next year he gets me to that, and then boom. And not that, yeah, I mean, I want to do a movie with Justin Timberlake, but I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to. And that's what I'm saying. And but it turns out this guy, although he could have been a filmmaker, he went to school, he had all the things, he had decided he wanted to be like Dexter instead.
Slicing people up who are bad.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. I don't know how he chose them. It wasn't bad so much as he just decided that he wanted to do the killing part. So the script that he had written about this murder and victim was... Once he realized that he wanted to be a serial killer, he decided, you can't just jump into being a serial killer. You have to have a plan. And he's in film school. I need a script. Let me script this, how I'm going to kill this person. And then the script was a rehearsal so he could find out if there was any things that weren't working, there was any flaws in his plan kind of thing. And that's where I came in all of a sudden with the casting of the victim. Let's get me in with a... with a psychopath, a serial killer who, and so we went through the whole thing and we're filming it. And I had bad vibes that day. Everything was not like any other set I'd been on.
Yeah, the Ebes, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Jeebies. I was duct taped up in a chair in this garage where he was killing people. This was the garage and the chair where he was actually killing people. And, but I didn't know, I had this bad feeling and so I was thinking,
yeah, but yeah, I'm sure you did.
I've heard this story before. It still blows my mind every time.
And he was doing it with a samurai sword. Was the first, the initial kill before he chopped up the body. That's what he did. He sliced up these bodies and he tried to disappear the parts, which he was, well, he was pretty
successful
good at.
But
he was successful. Yeah, yeah. He was able to do it. And, this sword, he had me duct taped to a chair and he's pulling out the sword. And I had looked at the sword before and felt it. And it was no prop sword. It was because I was just wondering there's two swords. And I thought this must be the real sharp one for the camera shot. And this is the dull one that he's going to run through underneath my arm. And they were both very sharp, way too sharp. And I was a little nervous right from that point. And I was thinking, okay, if he hits me with one of these, What's my escape plan here? I got to have an escape plan. I'm going to be hurt for sure, and how I'm going to get out of here. And then I got the idea that, you know what I'm going to talk about? He wants to do a film next year. He's looking for a budget. I'm going to say I have money. And that's what I started doing during the day. I was like, hey, how do you invest in your film? How much money do you need? And so he put out a number per investor and stuff. And I said, I think I can team up with a friend of mine and we can get in on that. And I think that may be the thing that tipped the day for me. That he said, well, I can't kill this guy yet. He's going to invest in. And he...
So you made yourself useful. Exactly. You made yourself useful to the guy.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Like, that was my defense. Because I'm already duct tape up in a chair. Like, all I got is my mouth now, like pure voiceover. That's all that was left. And he went
holy
for it. So
shit, man. That's all I gotta say.
Oh,
holy,
it was scary. It was scary. And then he went through this whole rehearsal and everything, and then 3 days later he began to murder people and slice their bodies up. And luckily the police got involved when they did, or more people would have been done in. And I probably would have got a call back. I had a deadline of October 31st.
Deadline.
Yeah, exactly.
Halloween episode, everybody.
Yeah, I had this deadline of October 31st to get my money in for him. And the police contacted me early October, and there was about 3 weeks where they were investigating this. And they said, don't tell them we're investigating it. Like, we're pretty sure this is what happened. We've found DNA, we're blah, blah, blah. But we don't want him to run. We don't have quite enough to... arrest him, but we don't want him to run. So if you say something to him, he disappears into the night. We'll never see this guy again. So please don't say anything. I'm like, no problem. I won't say. Mom's the word. And then they said, you know, actually, it would be better. Keep talking to him just and see what he says. See what he brings up. Let's keep him talking.
Keep him going.
Yeah. So there's 3 weeks while I'm talking to the serial killer. and back and forth. And in my mind, I'm scared to death thinking, what if he finds out? Then he's, you know, hey, come on over. We'll meet up and we'll, and then that's it for me.
Yeah.
And the deadline was coming and the police were making no indication to me that they were going to arrest this fella. And I was getting a little nervous. I wasn't sure what I was going to do on October 31st. And then that's the day they arrested him at 4 p.m.
On Halloween.
It was right, yeah, around 3, 4 p.m. they arrested him. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I had, like, hours left.
That's freaking terrifying, dude.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. But, and the story goes on, because then you were brought down to the U.S.
Right.
to be on television about this whole thing. 2020,
Dateline, yeah.
Whole thing.
All the big networks. Yeah, no, that's a deadline. See that in the chart? So, yeah, so then what happened, how I got invited down to Los Angeles was all the networks were doing stuff. I mean, you had, if you can see me on CBS Murder Mysteries, on Dateline, on 20, well, you've seen them all. And the first one I came down with was with 2020, and I did the interview with them, which was an exclusive at the time because it kept all the other reporters away from me.
Oh, I see.
By doing an exclusive.
So they were trying to do serious investigative reporting about this thing.
Right. And I mean, it was a swamp. It was a swamp of reporters when this happened. They were coming to my house. They were coming to my work. They were falling. Yeah. Like you see on TV when they're showing up in your yard and they got all the cameras. And
the whole thing.
And once they found out. And I don't know what to say because I don't want to jeopardize a murder case.
Yeah.
Right. So I really don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
And that's why it worked out nicely when I talked to ABC. They said, we'll do an exclusive. And, you know, these guys will leave you alone once they know you're not going to talk to them. You're going to talk to us. And I said, why would all these reporters leave me alone because I'm exclusive with you? He said, because they all want to work for us. We're at the top.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We're at the top and they want to make it here. Yeah.
So they brought me down. How did that in any way influence your voiceover career? Or was this just one of those bumpy rides in the journey you've been on? Did it in any way help?
It was right around the same time that I got the casting for that series, where I did 52 episodes. And so it was like, this is great and that's horrible. This is, I don't know what to think. I have these great things and horrible things happening.
When did you contact me? Because I remember the first email you sent me George, I want a voiceover studio. And I heard that you worked with Don LaFontaine.
Yeah.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. And I looked for you forever.
What gear did Don have in the studio? That's what I remember you saying.
3 months. So once I started doing the voiceover stuff and realized that, people might hire me for stuff, I wanted to get a studio.
Some gear,
I got to have some gear. I don't know. And I did not know who Don LaFontaine was at the time. But I started getting emails that Don was sick. And because I knew people in voiceover from the coaching and from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know who this is, but I hope he gets better. You know, good luck and whatnot. So I started researching and I found the video online. It's just a great video where he's sitting in his studio and he's talking. I'm just doing this until that job at Denny's opens up.
Right? His dry humor.
Yeah. Right. And I thought, this is a great thing. I wonder what he has. He's in his home. I wonder what he's got. That's probably what you should get. And so I started going on forums and asking people any kind of like geek forum I could find, stuff that I like.
He's the one.
That's right. That's right.
And I'd ask people, hey, I don't know if you would know this, but I'm trying to figure out what Don LaFontaine would have had in his studio. And all the answers, it took me 3 months to get to you. All the answers were like, no, I don't know, but he probably had this. He probably had that. It was more than like, da da da. And then
I wasn't as famous back then.
Right. Yes. Well, I don't know how many people got to be in his studio. I mean, you were there, but
not many.
Even people that knew him may not have been in his studio.
Yeah.
And then they sent this one email, same type of thing. I don't know if you know who Don LaFontaine is, blah, blah, blah. And then George emails back. He's like, I think I do know who it is, and I built his studio. And I'm like, what? I found the guy? You're the guy? It took me forever. What do I do? And he's like, don't buy expensive gear. And
even
I went,
then,
I don't know if you're the guy.
Yeah.
What do you mean, don't buy expensive?
Yeah, you didn't believe me.
I'm like, I want to have, if it takes off, I want to have all the right stuff in my studio.
Yeah. So speaking of stuff, go ahead.
Yeah, what do you have in your studio?
Yeah.
But I didn't want to go too big, because George advised me, don't go too big too quick. So I didn't want, for my first mic, I got a Neumann U87 AI.
Don't go too big too quick.
Yeah, it was a nickel-plated anniversary edition with this nice box and mic. So I didn't want to, maybe he's right. Let's just take it easy, take it slow. And I bought
we all know that Joe Cipriano's voiceover career began with the purchase of a U87, so...
Is that true?
No, his wife bought him one. No, his wife bought him one. The story goes that his wife bought him one, and she said, now you need to build a studio around this microphone. So,
right.
Yeah, so not a bad way to start.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, I'm going to get a good mic and build it around that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I did. And I bought the Vintech X73i. And
which is a Neve type
preamp.
Like it's based on the 1073, the famous Neve.
Yeah, it's supposed to have like almost identical curve on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a MacBook Pro.
But how did you pick that preamp? Of all preamps?
I went into the store and the guy that worked there said, try them out. Try them out. Go sit in this room. Take what, like, don't just buy that mic, he said. And same thing you said. Yeah. I actually found a good guy. He's like, you don't need this stuff, he said.
You found a trustworthy rep who would let you demo the gear? Like,
yeah, and he said, you don't, this is not the stuff you need. You don't need all this right now. Like, you need work.
Right. That's really what the guy said?
Yeah.
You Canadians are pretty honest.
Well, no, he got fired about a month later.
Oh. That makes sense.
That's true.
That's why I don't work in retail.
No, yeah, he put me in a room and with mics and preamps and said, here, just start patch baying this stuff and try them out. And I actually did like the U87 over a lot of mics.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a MacBook Pro and a Digi 003. And then that was my first setup. And then I called him, George. Hey, I got this stuff. And he's like,
I told him the same thing.
He sent me emails. He sent me PDFs of good stuff that were affordable. I gave you the stuff. I don't know. Did you read the email? I'm sure it's in my sent box right here.
Well, that's more stories, I think, than we can handle in one particular show.
Oh, but then George gave me the worst news. After I got all that gear, he goes, what do you have for a room?
Oops.
Bo, what are you talking about? I got a closet in the back. Yeah, but what treatment? And then we got into that. I'm like, oh, no. That was expensive. And I'd already blown most of the load there on the other gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And the moral of the story is?
Listen to me.
Yes.
That's right.
That's the moral of the freaking story right there.
But I have some great gear. Now I have a 416 and I have a Manly reference cardioid as well. Yeah.
Which is and what Don used.
Avalon 82.
Or the 2020. Or the 2022.
Yeah,
that's great stuff, man. Yeah. And you were asking me about switchers to be able to switch between all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did I ever write you back about that?
You said you were going to do a Woodham's World on it.
Oh, I did.
And you mentioned it on one show.
I did,
but that you should invent that. Like a switcher, you could plug your three mics and your three preamps in and just hit a button.
It's called a mixer.
Yeah, the mixer is that noise. But there are gear. There is stuff that does that.
Yeah.
Manly makes one. It's really expensive. But there's a Canadian company called Radial Engineering.
Yeah.
And they make the Cherry Picker
and
the Gold Digger.
Yeah, and I talked to the guy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
that's
expensive. I called the Little Labs guy too.
And
but he's not doing that.
Jonathan Little. Yeah,
he's not doing it.
He's not doing it anymore. But yeah, there's good ways to do all that stuff. But you know, it's fun as long as you don't let it get too much in the way of your coaching as a voice. Mm-hmm. Who are you working with as a coach?
Yeah, so I guess, if you back up to when I came to L.A., 2020 brought me in. I did the interview for that. And then after the interview, I was supposed to fly home the next day. And that was it for me with them. But the producer of the show said, hey, I really like you on camera. I like the way you look. I like the way you sound. And you got into this through stand-up comedy was the first thing to lead you into acting. I need to see your comedy. Can you stick around a few more days? I'll get you on at a comedy club here in Los Angeles and do some B-roll. And at first I said no because I had people who were expecting me back home. And I didn't know what the Laugh Factory was either because I'm Canadian. I didn't realize how big that institution is for comedians. That's the top level. That's the top shelf. Everybody you see on TV that is in movies and TV from comedy went through that club.
Mm-hmm.
Without exception. And so they talked me into it. And I went down. I did the show at the Laugh Factory. It happened to go, you know, as well as I could have hoped. And the owner of the club came up to me and he said, Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory said, this is your home club now. You play here anytime you want. Just give me a week or two notice and you're in. And he's always, it's been almost 5 years now. He's kept that promise. And I've been coming back and forth and doing that stuff. So when I got to LA the first time, I started meeting some of these coaches and other voice actors as well, because I had emails and stuff through them, and I knew you and you interest. And the first one that told me they were coaching here was Chris Allport. And I said, yo, you're coaching voiceover. Why don't you coach me? Because I've only had Canadian people coach me at that time. Mm-hmm. I took one with him. And then later that night, I met MJ Lalo. And we went to In-N-Out Burger. And that was my first time at In-N-Out, but not my last time.
As you can see, I'll pan down. You'll see what I mean.
Pan downwards, you'll know. No. and then that was about... nine, I think we were there, 9:30 at night. And I said, if I pay you money, can you voice coach me tonight? Cause I'm not in LA forever here.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, let's go to the studio, and started working with her.
Dude, you're just an opportunist. That's who you are.
Well, if you're there and you got the chance to work with some of the best, take it. Cause I really didn't know if I'd ever get this opportunity again. So I thought, this is really lucky that I ran into this person.
Yeah.
And then met Bill Holmes and Bob Bergen and, Gene Cords has been really good with me lately. We've been working on promo stuff. That's been a lot of fun, actually.
Mm, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about your website and your demos after the break, I think.
Cool. Yeah. So we're going to take a break then.
Yeah.
Right here. So don't go away. More stuff to come. Stuff I think you're really going to want to listen to here in East West Audio Body Shop.
No more stuff. Oh, yeah. No more comedy.
No more comedy? What do you mean no more? Have we started yet?
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Hey, honey. I bought you a new suit.
Oh, no. What fancy function is it now with all those hoity-toity people?
What are they...
But, dear, it's...
Is this for your work? Please don't tell me I have to sit with your BB again. Boring boss. If I have to, I...
No, it's not that...
Wait, is your sister getting married again? This is like her fourth or fifth time, poor guy. Somebody should warn him about...
Would you just listen?
I'd take any of these over the theater. Please don't make me go to another one of those over-the-top musicals you love so much. They just...
Okay, fine. I'll send it back. I think Dan has a return policy for his studio suits. I'm sure the UPS guy is still outside and he'll take it
Dan?
Back.
Dan? Studio suit? Wait, honey. I didn't mean any of it. I love getting dressed up with you. Your boss is fascinating. Your sister is a catch. Honey, baby. Cats. That's it. Let's go see Cats again. That was my favorite one.
Whence came these two radiant celestial brothers united for an instant as they crossed the stratosphere of our starry window? One from the east and one from the west.
Very good.
And we are back here on East West Audio Body Shop. We love that one. Who sent that to us? Or no, you?
No, I pulled that out of the... I stole that blatantly off of the internet. We're just waiting for the day where they see all the shows with that bumper and they start pulling us down. Hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't. Well, one thing that hasn't happened. Sure. One thing that hasn't happened yet is Harlan Hogan has not been here with us here on East West Audio Body Shop. He will be with us till the end of time. The reason being because he knows that you guys like the stuff that he has and you guys need the stuff that he has over at voiceoveressentials.com. And modeling one of the finest things that Harlan has is our own Chris Heward, who is on the show tonight, and he is wearing a pair of Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones. So how do they sound to you, Chris?
Actually, these are really nice. I use the M50s, ATA M50s, but these are really nice. I don't know if George will miss them after tonight, but
they may have to go with you.
No, they really are. I mean, yeah, the Harlan Hogan earphones. If you're not using them, you're just not listening.
Very nicely said. Would you model them for us a little bit, my friend? Yes. And how comfortable do you feel? Do you feel like they're pretty comfortable?
Oh, I've barely felt them the whole time, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they're very natural. Very, very natural. I like them. They sound great and they feel great.
They're smooth. They have a smooth response.
Yeah, you're sucking me into the sale.
They're not edgy.
I'm getting gas.
Right.
Yeah.
At least headphones are not one of the more expensive things to get gas about.
How much are
they? German microphones are much more expensive to get gas about.
I know. They're,
yeah.
They're crazy.
What's the price of those, George? Those are like
About $150.
$150.
About $150, and they have a leather ear pads, actual leather headband. And so they're going to really hold up because I've gone through a lot. Let me show you what a pair of headphones looks like that doesn't have actual leather headband after a couple of years. Okay? Enough said. Look how hideous those things are. That's synthetics. They just fall apart. The leather headband's going to last years and years. So these things are built to last, and they're comfortable.
Oh, and I like the over-the-ear. I think, are you wearing in-ear ones, Dan?
Yeah, I'm wearing Sennheiser in-ears. Yeah,
I love the over-the-ear ones. It's a lot more comfortable for me.
Yeah. The other great thing about the Signature Series is they're designed specifically for voiceover, which all stuff that Harlan does is designed for. The thing is, you know, if you're doing a session or something and you really only need to listen in one ear, they flip up very easily. Mm-hmm. And some headphones don't do that. You got to go like this or like that.
And they fold up too, right? They fold up for travel.
They do fold up for travel, and they have a great headband on them. So if you need good headphones, go over to voiceoveressentials.com and grab yourself a pair of Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones because they're for voiceover.
Thank you, Harlan.
Thank you very much, Harlan Hogan, over at voiceoveressentials.com.
So,
all righty.
So
well,
what are we going to do next?
Well, we have a question or two. If anybody else has a question for Chris, you can throw them in there. And our fantastic, amazing, and one and only chat room monitor, Anthony Gettig, will get it into our hands here so we can ask it to him. Mm-hmm. Shelley Avellino has a question. The lovely Shelley Avellino joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Question for Chris. I really love your comedy act, and I know you've had a lot of voiceover coaching for many different people with many different styles, including Bill Holmes. Did we talk about Bill Holmes at all?
We mentioned
him. Did I mention him?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope I did.
Yeah, but has the coaching benefited you? And why?
Oh, yeah, because, I DJed a lot before I got into any of this, which helped me get into the comedy, first off. Just
Wait, radio
talking.
DJ or live
I,
DJ?
Well, when I was in university, I did a radio DJ, but I did live DJ for weddings and school dances and all that kind of thing. When I turned 18, that was the first job I did. So I really was in the into the voice of, all right, everybody, are you ready? Let's get going. You know, and to break that, I was really into that as soon as a mic would get in front of me. So to be my natural voice. Was one of the things definitely they were beating out of me. And we had that one really nice coach. You took me to at SAG, Carrie Tambazian.
Oh, Carrie Tambazian, who's an on-air talent. So she deals with both.
Right, and she saw me after I had a bunch of training, and she said, very nice thing about we have it recorded there, she said, this is one of the people that can be crossover. He could do animation or commercial. He said, I don't know if you remember that. And she said,
I do.
There's actually one in your class here today that could do both. And that was a really super compliment. The question I get down here all the time after they hear my voice and I do things is, oh, are you living here? Do you have an agent first?
Right.
They're like, and I say no, and then they're like, what? Are you kidding? And then the next question is, are you here? Are you living here? And when my answer is no, they almost look sad. And it was the same with Karen, and her agent was there. And they were like, oh, well, when you get here, call us. So, which is getting closer.
They're calling you. They're calling you down here.
Oh, yeah. I remember. We were going to talk about Chris's website. Chris is fairly new at voiceover. He's obviously getting pretty good at
it. Still in your early 5 years of your career.
About seven?
Yeah, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but you've also had a day job, which and a night job. Yeah. So it's always important to have when you start off in voiceover. Can we look at his website and listen to some of his demos?
Yeah,
it's under construction.
It's under construction. Yeah, you can email me there at bigdaddyrumblenuts@gmail.com.
That is an email address you could not possibly forget.
That's freaking brilliant. Really.
That happened here in LA, actually. A couple of years ago.
Do we have some of his demos up there, George?
Yeah, the demos are on the website, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they still are. I didn't know you were going to go to that, so...
See, we're catching you off guard here, huh?
Yeah, so it's under construction, so I'm not sure if they're up there
right now. The demos are not up here right now? Are they under services?
I don't think they're up there right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it literally is under construction.
Yeah.
So we caught
right
you
there. Says under construction.
We caught you in a transitional period, my friend.
Yes,
my friend. Well, first of all, the demos we all know is like a really, really important part of getting hired as a voice actor. So when you did your very first demo, what direction did you go?
I haven't done one yet.
You haven't done any demos yet?
No. People just heard my voice. Like, we'll be at those things, we'll be, and they'll be like, oh, you're good. Can you do this? Can you do that? Even with comedy, I've never called an agent. I've never asked anybody for anything yet. They see me, they hear me, and they give me another opportunity. Like the other night at the Laugh Factory. I was telling you, after the show, one of the comedians said, hey, can you come back next year and do this show with the biggest names from my country, Russell right. Peters, Jeremy Hotz, and do a comedy show? And it's been the same voiceover. They hear it, and they just – I haven't made a demo yet.
There are 42 people watching this show live whose jaws all hit the floor very hard.
I know. See, this is – I mean, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different path into this industry. And, you know, Chris's is unique. That's why I thought it was fun to
– Yeah. I think – I always thought if I make my first one, it would be with Mark Grau. He's just awesome. I got to meet him my first trip down here. We ended up at his studio and chatting with him for about an hour, and that was really cool. Nice guy. Between him and the stuff I've heard about Chuck Duran is pretty good too. So I'm between those two.
Freaking dynamite. When I do. There's an episode you should listen to from a few months ago called The Demo Derby.
Oh yeah.
The Demo Derby.
Demo Derby. Nice.
Yes, and we listened to about 20 or so demos in one show. Yeah. Check it out.
Oh, nice.
We picked our favorite one, and it just happened to be Chuck Duran.
Chuck Duran.
Oh, really? Yeah, dude. This guy's the real dude.
Gene Cord's said I'm quite similar to Reno Romano when we were doing our reads, and he played it for me after. I said I don't know about that, and he said, listen, here's yours, here's his, boom. What's the difference?
That's not a bad. I said, wow, that's not a bad person to be compared to. He does pretty well. Yeah, Dan.
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, okay. We're rambling on about.
I know. Okay. Anne Ganguza, the one and only.
Oh, she's wonderful. You took me out there to that party.
I did.
Her place
yeah.
One time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope she had fun that night.
Great lady.
As
a former hairdresser, who does your hair now?
I do it all. I do it all myself.
Yeah. You really?
Yeah, I do it all. I cut it a little bit today.
He's
for
a Floby?
Yeah. There's somebody at home right now sitting on their couch going, maybe I should use a Floby.
Do you remember those things?
The vacuum.
It was a vacuum cleaner with a razor on it.
And you'd see their eyebrows lift when they turn it on. No, I always do it myself. It's rarely when I get it done by somebody. I watch them doing a haircut in the mirror, and I know where a good haircut is and where it's not. And they go, there's a nice haircut, and I should say stop, but they don't, and I don't say stop. But just keep, and it goes right past it, so I just do it myself.
Dude, that's pretty impressive. Just sitting in the mirror, you got it down.
Yeah, you got to have one behind you. The back one is the hard part.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, Anne loves hair, so.
Oh, yeah. She has beautiful hair.
Devox asks, what kinds of things does he use the Manly microphone for versus the U87?
I mean, they're very close. So you can, I think that Manly has just a little more low end, just a little more of as if you're a little closer to it.
Just a little bit more fullness?
Yeah, well, at that end of it. And I think the U87 has a little bit, it has a nice low end, but I think the top end is nice on that. So depending on how you
cuts
want to sound.
A little bit, yeah. A little more. Have you ever compared the noise floors of those two, as we've been talking about noise floors today? Have you ever just opened up each mic and hit record and just seen what the...
Actually, it never occurred to me that they would change.
They don't necessarily change. I'm just thinking about how the two of those mics compare. You know, mics that are in the same price category.
We should get you to come up to Canada, and we're going to mess around in my studio.
Okay, we'll do that. That'd be freaking awesome, actually.
Yeah, I would love that.
Get your Edmonton buddies together.
Yeah. I can afford to bring you, Jordan. I don't have to.
All right.
I would get help.
Oh, okay. Hey, look at this guy. Look at this guy right here.
Reen Vogel asks, Chris, I am pursuing on camera as well as voiceover, which you should. How do you do it? I feel like I'm being pulled in all directions. Any suggestions?
Chris, I'm pursuing camera on camera. You want to be an on camera actor?
She's trying to do both. So how the hell do you time manage that and split those two things?
I'm always on the go. It doesn't stop. And if I wasn't, I don't think I would function properly. Ever since I started working when I was 15, 16, the first time I had a job, instead of getting one, I got three. And people go, why are you doing all those jobs? I don't know what else would I do. I'm going to sit home on the couch and I watch TV. I don't know. So I would be bored if I didn't do. So if I have extra time, sometimes it's nice because sometimes comedy is busier than acting. Sometimes voiceover is busier than acting or comedy. So, but one of them has always got some work going. So wherever there is a lull in something, one of the others just happens to be picking up, and I've had lucky timing like that. So, but yeah, and it's the same. I mean, you got to study with coaches, and you got to, it's not, people come up to you all the time and like, well, just get me a job in the voiceover. Same as I thought when it was me. Well, I got a voice. Just put me in, Chris. But honestly, go take coaching. I did. And I tell them how much coaching I took and how much money I spent on coaching and, and time in coaching and how far I've went for coaching. Like I'm in the farthest northern city that you can get to in Edmonton, Canada. So Hollywood is a long, long way. I spend a lot of money to come down here, and I get coaching every time I'm down here, which is, you know, every few months I try and get down as much as I can.
I get people that send me audio samples. Like today I was setting up some audio mastering for audiobook processing for probably a new voice actor. And she said she's using a Blue Snowball microphone. And I'm not here to make fun of any gear at all, but she made a very minimal investment, right, in her gear. Mm-hmm. And she said, I really want to make some money back as a voice actor before I buy more gear. And there's definitely truth to that. Like we really feel like work to earn the gear, don't buy the gear, earn the work. So it's kind of, but there are certain things you just have to invest in, and but you know, that is not a really good place to start, you know, like that microphone. And I convinced her to, even though she was in a hurry to get that first 15 minutes and ACX turned in and all this stuff, I convinced her to spend a little bit of money and make that little step up that she needed, you know. But I don't know where I'm going with that. But
well, no, there's definitely a good ideology behind that. Don't spend too much money, because if it doesn't work out for you, and for a lot of voice people, it's not going to work out. And that's one of the first thing a good coach will tell you. Like, it's not guaranteed that you take coaching, you're going to get work. That's not a guarantee in any way.
Right. And if a coach tells you that, don't work for that coach. Yeah. Right. With that coach. No,
but my thought is, and I don't smoke or drink, and I never have done any of that stuff. So when I spend my money.
Clean living.
Yeah. When I spend my money, I like to spend it on stuff that is good quality. And I'll save up for a longer time. Like, I might not have the money now, but I'll know what I want. I'll save the money. And I'll put it aside until I get it. Sometimes quality it takes 5 years to get something you want. But and I want the good stuff so that when the work does come in, I'm ready to do it, and there'll be no other excuse for failing other than me. I didn't do the work, or I didn't do enough coaching, or I didn't practice. That's where I want the blame to lie, not on the equipment.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
and
good
I've done that in every aspect of my life.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. One last question from Bill Russell. How did you finance yourself before you got to L.A.?
What was my job?
Well, I guess we talked about it a bit, but I mean, you were working as a hairdresser.
And then I started working in comedy at the same time. And so during the week as a hairdresser, and that was my job. And then on the weekends, I was getting more and more comedy work. Yeah, and then started getting into some acting. After I stopped and started training and acting, started getting some background stuff and some smaller stuff. And more they'd see me, the more they'd give me things and commercials and stuff like that.
Grassroots?
I'll do anything for money. I mean, even now, if somebody needs
anything,
if you need a haircut, Dan, I'm there.
It's a little late.
I'm gonna start timing. I'm gonna start timing your trips to LA with my haircuts.
Yeah,
we gotta get in sync.
I'll do anything for money.
We gotta get our periods in sync or something.
I don't have an ego like that where I'll go, I won't do this or I won't do that. If it pays and it pays okay, I'm not too good to stop and pick up a dollar.
Chris, it has been fabulous having you on the show tonight. And you're a funny guy and an interesting guy with an interesting life so far. I can't wait to see the next chapter.
To the Factory.
When I get out there, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Watch my site for the next time.
The way I look at it, you're 7 years in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're about two, maybe you can cut a shortcut, maybe one or two, but you're like two or three years away from
some really good stuff.
Every voice actor I've spoken to, Anthony Mendez, we just had on the show recently, there seems to be something magical about 10 years. And I know people hate hearing that because it's a long freaking journey. But
I'm just about there myself. So
yeah, there's something about 10 years
is a magic. It's the same in comedy. They told me when you got into comedy, it's going to take 10 years to be an overnight sensation. Would be 10 years, but to Seinfeld was like 15, Russell Peters was 17, you know, it's not quick. I'm at my 10 year mark right now, and things are really starting to give me some great opportunities down here and back home.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't really, you know, being a shooting star isn't necessarily a great idea because you may be an overnight success, but you'll also be an overnight failure just as fast. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn your craft and you've got to be good at it and be able to maintain that the edge that you have. Mm-hmm. So
I never wanted to be the leading guy. I wanted to be the guy close enough that I can observe what he's doing and learn from him. And that's always been my thing. But a lot of people want to get to the front and be the lead guy right away. And I never had that.
You're the Apple computer of voice of talent.
Yeah. I want that second or third spot.
Don't be a bleeding edge. Just watch what Samsung does and watch all their mistakes.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, figure it out.
Yeah. Learn it first before you throw yourself in there. Yeah.
That's true.
I always have to throw the tech edge into it.
All righty. Well, we're going to take another quick break here. We got the VoxBot lined up there, George.
Yeah, we already ran that one.
We did?
Is there other questions?
Let's go. Do we have any more questions? No.
That was all the questions we had.
So let's wrap this baby up, man.
Yeah, let's wrap it up in a nice tight little bow. Yeah. First off, we need to thank our donors because you guys have been fabulous about helping us out and getting the, you know, the bandwidth here is not, we have to pay for the bandwidth.
That's right.
So we really appreciate you guys jumping in. There's a donation button right above my head tonight. It's usually George is sitting over there, but right above my head, there's a donation button. It's right up there. And there's a couple of different levels. Donate to our show.
Well, you can donate just, you know, a one time amount, which we'll lovingly use.
Oh, gladly.
Or you can subscribe. There's $1, $5, and $10 monthly subscription rates you can do as well. Do a dollar. Every month that little dollar comes out, we get that dollar and it reminds you, you are out there. It reminds us that you are supporting us. It's awesome.
Yeah. Although a dollar isn't quite a cup of coffee anymore.
Not anymore. But, you know, it's all about – it's cumulative. It's cumulative.
Well, I want to keep watching the show, so I hope people donate. It's a great show. What, 163 episodes?
This is number 163.
163. It's been great. I love it. I mean, even going back and rewatching some of the old ones is always fun.
Yeah. There are people who have gone back to zero and started watching the show from zero.
First episode, man.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Alrighty. Yeah, that was really something
we've
different.
We've solved all the technical issues since show number one, right?
Nice.
And they've all been solved.
Oh, and I have my first DVD coming out too. I forgot to tell you that for comedy. Yeah.
Is it going to be on your new website?
I've never released a video, and this will be my first one. After 10 years, I'm finally willing to release a video.
Are you going
to
sell it direct on your website?
On the website and on Facebook and at my shows.
CK, you know, Louis CK style? Like that?
Is that what he does? Yeah.
Well, he was just selling them direct on his website.
A lot of guys do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
He kind of started that trend, though.
He was nice to me when I was in New York, that's for sure.
Was he?
Yeah.
Seems like a kind of a genuine guy.
No, I've been really lucky to meet him. I've opened for Tim Allen, with Dane Cook, with Daniel Tosh. Since I've come down here, it's just been the biggest stars in America they've put me on with, which has been unbelievable.
Sweet, dude. Well, when you get your YouTube channel fired up and you start posting videos, we will add you to our channel, which is youtube.com/ewabsshow, so that people can see what you're up to. And you can listen to us on Stitcher as well, Stitcher Radio, if you're into that. iTunes, of course, the podcast is on there. The ewabs.podbean.com. If you don't have any of those other ways of listening to podcasts, you can subscribe to it there.
Thank you to all the people that are saying thank you to me in the chat room. That's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Narrator Helper.
Yeah. Don't forget Narrator Helper.
NarratorHelper.com. That's my wife's company that she has started in doing supporting audiobook narrators. So if you're doing a project or about to plunge into that really long audiobook and you're going, oh, my God, there's no way I can get this done in time, check out Amy's website, NarratorHelper.com. It's all about helping narrators finish their audiobooks.
Thank you, Dan.
Great to have a good proofer there.
Hey, you know what?
And
can I say one more thing? I see everybody's talking about get the website done on the construction stuff. But that's the thing I'm wondering now. Is a website that we talked about this a little bit briefly earlier, is a website all that important now when everything's on Facebook and Twitter and other places? Are people going to websites? Yeah?
We have to say because it's the home of the demo, and the demo is traditionally what gets you booked. Or at least gets your attention.
Yeah, because I've been wondering lately if it's more towards social media rather than.
And don't overthink the website. Don't go elaborate.
Just do it.
And also, what I've understood and from doing this show all this time, detach your face from your voice acting persona. Hmm. Like literally,
what does that mean?
Just don't have your face on your website.
Have a
separate website.
Like if that's going to be an issue.
Website just for VO.
Oh yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
VO.com. Just separate it out and remove that. Don't don't look like a jack of all trades.
Right.
That's what I've learned watching a lot of actors get successful at this. Mm-hmm. If you look like a jack of all trades, they're going to go, eh, he's not that serious. He's kind of doing a little bit too many different things.
Yeah.
Make sure the VO thing is a very focused brand. And most people are saying, unless your face matches your voice, which, what does that mean?
which rarely happens.
What the hell does that mean? But, you know, rarely, it's really, yeah, that's what
Yeah, you're not even sure if that's a compliment.
I know. What does that mean exactly? But
yeah, really,
that's my little two cents. A little takeaway for everybody watching. That's what we've learned. And Doug, the announcer, if you want to learn anything about marketing or anything in the voiceover of marketing and business, this guy, announcer Doug Turkel, freaking genius.
We have
always read
his
stuff. I wondered who it was. Every week I read it. Yeah,
he's a brainiac.
A lot of smart people in the business. And such actually, one of the best things about our business is the community. And a lot of people, we all support each other. There's a lot of people with a lot of different skills. And, so we want you to come join us.
And
that'll make it even easier. Now, next week, we don't know who we're going to have on yet.
Yeah, we're still figuring out.
Does somebody want to volunteer?
We've got several people in the hopper, but Catherine just got back from dealing with her mother who had passed away, our producer. So she's getting back in the saddle. And we rely on Catherine heavily to book the show for us. She's a wonderful help. So we want to thank her tremendously right off the top of the list of acknowledgments, for sure.
Yeah. I'll say the voiceover community is the nicest of all the entertainment sections. Like comedy, it's a complete opposite of comedy. People in voiceover are helpful. They're supportive. They point you in directions where you need to go. They help you. It's the complete opposite of comedy, which is backstabbing, trying to get your stage time, get that guy out of the way so I can become a star, blah, blah, blah. But I love being in voiceover so much. In the end, I think if everything went well, I'd end up in voiceover mostly. I love doing stand-up comedy. There's no that audience reaction, but voiceover is the funnest.
The comedy is the drug, I guess.
Yeah, it's a drug, but is voiceover. It's so great, and the community is great.
Of course, we love to do this show live in front of an audience because we love the laughs.
Yeah.
Because we don't get to hear them. We see the laughs in the chat room 30 seconds later.
LOL.
No, that's freaking great. It really is.
Oh, thank you, Amy.
Yeah. All righty. Well, okay. Well, we also need to thank our fantastic sponsors, Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOver Essentials, VoiceOver Extra, and of course, your wonderful employers, Edge Studios, who are providing us with the bandwidth that you are watching this very show with tonight.
The bandwidth and the banner.
Yes, the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. So make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at ewebs_show, and subscribe and like our videos on YouTube. And we'd also like to thank our wives who put up with this every week. We thanked Kathy, but we can't thank her enough for all the help she does. Anthony Gettig for his fabulous work once again in the chat room. Jack DeGolia for the EWABS Essentials. Please watch the EWABS Essentials. Great little tidbits from our show.
Yeah, he does all the show notes.
Yes, and he does all the show notes. If you want to know what happened on a show, it's right there with the replay of the show. Tim McKean for the EWABS Essentials production, and Lee Pinney, the one and only, for making sure our podcast gets out there each and every week so you guys can listen in the car.
All of them are doing this voluntarily to support the show and to help the industry and give back. This is how all these folks are giving back. So we can't thank you guys enough. Thank you.
That's right.
On your chat room, there's Ann Gangers just said, "Can you come back and do comedy?" But I don't think this is the right show for that. But I did. I did sing for you, Ann, at your house there. I sang for you that one time.
That song.
Yeah, you were there.
What song is that?
Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. In the living room.
That was freaking hilarious.
Everybody was dancing. Mark Cashman was doing the Miley. What do they call that thing?
The twerk.
Yeah.
The twerk. That? Oh, I'm sorry, Ann. It's that.
Freaking awesome.
Mark's kind of reserved. That must have. I wonder what he was drinking that night.
He likes comedy. He told me that.
Oh, he definitely does. Great guy. Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. Why don't you do some stand-up in the after show, Chris? That'd be fun. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
I'm George Whittam with Chris Heward here in the West.
And together, all of us are East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a great night, everybody, and happy Halloween.
Cheers, y'all.
Bye.